This is the 16th in a series of, I don't know, maybe 50 of a discussion on the seven assemblies in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3. And as you know, if you've watched previous episodes, that we've broken them down into a number of segments that Yahshua is speaking to John about the seven assemblies. To each one of them, he issues a greeting, a description of his majesty, a statement of his praise for us, or for those assemblies, a statement of criticism, a warning, an exhortation, and a promise of blessing. And we've gone through four of those, and we're on the fifth segment, which is about warnings. And the verses that we'll be looking at today are found in Revelation chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, which reads, "To the assembly at Pergamos, Yahshua states, you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them." Who's that? They're those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. "And will fight against them with my sword, with the sword of my mouth." The sword of my mouth. We have extensively covered the doctrine of the Nicolaitans in previous discussions about the seven assemblies. What is important to remember, however, here is that the doctrine of the Nicolaitans comes out of pagan worship, whether brought in by what I might call pure pagans or brought in by remnants of the house of Israel, long separated from their Israelite roots and assimilated into the religions of the surrounding nations. The word Nicolaitans means the laity of Nike or the worshippers of Nike. Nike is the goddess of victory, who crowned Zeus as the mightiest of the Greek pantheon. Yahshua hates those who bring into the body of Messiah false doctrine. And he says he will fight against them with the sword of his mouth. And he will bring the truth of the word of Yahweh against those who seek to remove his chosen from his faith. His faith is not Judaism. His faith is not Catholicism. His faith is not Protestantism. His faith is not non-denominational. His faith simply is obedience to the Father. Simply that. Obedience to the Father. Now the second part of this warning reads, "Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." The sword of Yahshua's mouth is and can be none other than the law, the word of Yahweh. As it states in Revelation chapter 14 and 12, here is the endurance, or here's the patience of the saints who guard the word of Yahweh and the faith of Yahshua. That's in Revelation 14:12. The righteous ones, the saints, are those who protect the Torah, the prophets, the writings, and the book of the New Covenant from vandals. Okay, that's what he's saying here. Let me read it to you again. Here's the endurance of the saints who guard the word of Yahweh and the faith of Yahshua. The saints protect the Torah, the prophets, the writings, and the New Covenant scriptures from vandals who would steal, cover up, deface, tear down, and bury the truth. Listen, those of you who celebrate pagan festivals like Christmas, Valentine's Day, Christmas is the origin of which it is the birthday of sun deities. Zeus, Mithra, Nimrod, Tammuz. Listen to me, those of you who honor Easter, Ishtar or Semiramis, the goddess of fertility, on the day that her husband, one of the sun deities, just mentioned, at sunrise on the day that the sun god begins to rise in his glory, Easter Sunday. Stop! Stop vandalizing the word of Yahweh. Return. Repent of your ways. And instead, follow the Messiah as he leads us on the righteous path of his Father, leading to the gates of the New Jerusalem. What is that path upon which Yahshua walks and says, "Come follow me"? It is the path on which there is nothing more worthy of our worship than the Word and the Spirit of Yahweh. It is the path on which we make no images of things in heaven, on earth, or under the earth, and value them or worship them above Yahweh. It is the path on which we revere the name of Yahweh. We do not hide it, bury it, or ruin his name. We call upon the name of Yahweh. We shout the name of Yahweh. We praise the name of Yahweh. Hallelujah. It is the path on which we honor weekly Sabbath and all the other appointed times of Yahweh, the feast days spoken of in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. We, that is, all those who obey Yahweh, meet on the seventh day Sabbath, which speaks of Yahweh's creation and his promise of salvation. Did you know that? That the two places in Scripture where it recites the Ten Commandments, one talks about creation and the other about salvation. Let me read that for you. In Exodus 20, verse 11. Exodus 20, verse 11, it says, "For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is them in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it." So his creation is the foundation for the Sabbath day, as it turns out. The next time that the Ten Commandments are read is in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15. Speaking only of the portion about the Sabbath day. Deuteronomy 5 and 15 says, "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt." And Egypt means literally Egypt, but it also means figuratively paganism. "And Yahweh your Elohim brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, Yahweh your Elohim commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." So here's a picture of being brought out of paganism, of being saved from that which would destroy us. When we read in Leviticus 23 that the first appointed time spoken by Yahweh is the weekly Sabbath, it doesn't mean it is the only Sabbath. It is simply the first in line. Those who obey Yahweh also meet on the eve of Passover. Those who obey Yahweh meet on the first and last days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Those who obey Yahweh remember the wave sheaf offering to Yahweh on the day after the weekly Sabbath in the midst of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Those who obey Yahweh meet on the day of Pentecost. These are all high Sabbaths. They are Moedim. Actually, I need to correct that. The wave sheaf offering is not a high Sabbath, but it is a day to remember, like the day of Passover. Those who obey Yahweh meet on the Day of Trumpets, the Day of Atonements, on the 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacles, and on the High Sabbath of the Last Great Day. Additionally, those who obey Yahweh honor the 7th year sabbatical for the land and the year of Jubilee. These are the appointed times, the times Yahweh expects us to meet with Him and to honor Him, to glorify His name, His Spirit, His Son, Yahshua the Messiah, the many blessings He has bestowed upon us, and His promise of eternal life in His kingdom here on earth. The appointed times of Yahweh were given to show the salvational plan of Yahweh. They are sometimes referred to as rehearsals, that we may remember the parts we play in His plan. Okay? Leviticus 23, verses 1 and 2 says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feasts of Yahweh," not the feast of the Jews, not the feast of the Israelites, not anyone else's feast, they are Yahweh's feasts, "the feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." The word feasts is the Hebrew word moedim, which means appointed times, or Yahweh's appointments that He has on His calendar. Convocation is the Hebrew word mikra, number 4744, which means something called out, that is, a public meeting. It also means a rehearsal. A rehearsal? A rehearsal for what? These convocations are rehearsals for the prophetic signposts of Yahweh's plan of salvation. They are very, very important. Each convocation or rehearsal is for a specific event whereby the worshipers of Yahweh, who know Yahweh and His Son Yahshua, can see with their eyes the mighty works of Yahweh. When the true Yahudim, that is, the true worshipers of Yahweh, look at the Passover lamb, they think of the blood sacrifice of the Lamb of Yahweh, Yahshua, who shed His blood that we may be saved from the second death and instead have eternal life. When the true Yahudim convocate at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they remember that Yahshua is the propitiation for our sins, and how being baptized in the name of Yahshua washes away our sins in His blood. When the true Yahudim meet on the day of Pentecost, they remember how the fullness of the Spirit fell upon the disciples of Yahshua, and how the Holy Spirit is bestowed upon us by the laying on of hands by the elders. When the true Yahudim, the true worshipers of Yahweh, meet on the Day of Trumpets, they are aware that they are looking for, or listening for, or rehearsing Yahshua's return at the time of the last trump. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52, Paul talks about this moment. He's speaking essentially of the Feast of Trumpets. 1 Corinthians 15, 52 reads, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And this verse is reiterated in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. This being raised from the grave at the sound of the last trump is where we are born again. We are raised incorruptible. We are born from above. We are not born again, as so is so often recited in this world, at our baptism. especially when our baptism is not in the name of Yahshua, like the Bible says. When the true Yahudim meet on the Day of Atonement, which is in the Scriptures called Yom HaKippurim, because there are many atonements, they will reflect on the punishment that Yahweh will place on the heads of those who held their hands high against Him and His Son Yahshua. The true worshipers of Yahweh will also look for the gathering of saints at the Feast of Tabernacles, when Yahshua will tabernacle with us and reign for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. He will reign and He'll keep the law, and the law will be the law of Yahweh. There can be no other law that He will rule by. Eternal finality, the true worshipers of Yahweh will rehearse on the high Sabbath of the last great day, when on the day He performs the white throne judgment, Yahweh will destroy all wickedness. Satan and his followers will be consumed in the lake of fire. Yahshua will wipe away every tear, and then eternal life begins. True worshipers of Yahweh will keep all of Yahweh's appointed times. They will also forsake the traditional holy days of mankind, or holidays. Now, back to our discussion of the path upon which Yahshua is leading us. We spoke earlier that those on the path worship Yahweh only, do not worship anything of our creation, call upon the name of Yahweh, and convocate at the time of His seventh-day Sabbath, His high Sabbaths, and His sabbaticals. It is on this path that Yahshua is leading us that we take care of the elderly, the poor, the orphans, and the abandoned ones. It is on this path that we restrain our anger, and even seek earnestly to create peace with and love those who would do us harm, that we may not destroy or maim our fellow humankind. It is on this path that Yahshua is leading us that we keep our covenants, both with our spouse and with Yahweh. We do not commit adultery, nor do we adulterate the word of Yahweh. It is on this path that we neither rob our neighbors, nor do we rob Yahweh. In Malachi 3, verses 8 to 10, it says, "Will a man rob Elohim? Yet you have robbed me," Yahweh says. "But you say, 'In what way have we robbed you?'" And He replies, "In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this." Yahweh is saying, "Test me, see if my word is true. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." He's asking us to test Him, not to rob Him, but to test His word. It is on this path that Yahshua is leading us that we refrain from bearing false witness. This applies not only to witnessing in a court of law, but in our daily conversations with others. We do not lie. It is interesting to note that in a court of law, if a witness is only witnessing the words spoken by another, it is called hearsay and not considered true testimony. Such also is the nature of gossip, which the Scriptures warn against. In Leviticus 19, starting at verse 15, is an example. Leviticus 19, verse 15 reads, "You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am Yahweh." Also in the book of Proverbs, chapter 26 and verse 18, we read, "Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, 'I was only joking.' Where there's no wood," it goes on, "the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, where there's no gossiper, strife ceases." Wow. That's in Proverbs 26 and verse 18 through 20. Strife ceases. And when I think about that, I think of this whole world. And I listen to people's conversations, and we speak without knowing about other people, about other peoples. We ridicule and we put down other people. And usually it's negative. It's amazing if you just stop and listen to what people are saying. Sometimes even the news will participate in this gossip, spreading negative information, spreading things that are not true, spreading things that the people who are saying them were not there witnessing the events they are describing. That's bearing false witness. It is on this path that Yahshua is leading us, that we do not covet what belongs to our neighbors. In other words, we are not to place value on material possessions, being inspired by our flesh to own things that ultimately take time away from reading the scripture, prayer, or spreading the evangel of Yahweh in Yahshua the Messiah. We spend much time seeking our own self-interests and not understanding the word of Yahweh. If you would turn to the book of Matthew in chapter 9, verse 36. Matthew 9:36 reads, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saying he unto his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the sovereign of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.'" Do you understand the significance of this passage? There's much work to do, and those who are here to do it are very few. And we are to pray that Yahweh will send people who will stand up for the truth, not stand up for their way of making their livelihood, not stand up for teaching things that are absolutely false and against Yahweh, but those who are willing to teach what Scripture says, willing to teach what Yahweh says, willing to follow the Messiah in what He does. Yahweh has given us His Spirit that we might follow the path that Yahshua is leading us on. Our lives are but a flittering of time, a nanosecond on the eternal clock. When Yahshua says in Revelation 3:11, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. I always envision the fact that one day I will die, and that it may come quickly. I'm sure you've heard the expression, yes, his was an untimely death. Untimely? When is death not untimely? Even someone who is suffering from the physical or mental pain like that of cancer or dementia, tell me, if they have rejected the word of Yahweh or have scorned the beckoning of his son Yahshua, is their death not untimely? We are given the opportunity here and now, right in this moment, as you're listening to these words, to receive the truth and abandon the ways of Babylon, Egypt, and other traditions of man. It is now, today, that we are afforded the blessing of eternal life. If you turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, and verse 11. It is here summed up, Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. It reads, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you." Folks, there is no mystery. It's not mysterious. There's no mystery in the Scripture. It's clear. It's in black and white. Yahweh says, this is the plan, and if we follow it, we will be blessed. There's nothing simpler than that. "It is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear and do it? But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth, and it is in your heart that we may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love Yahweh, your Elohim, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments, that you may live and multiply. And Yahweh, your Elohim, will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not fear, so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love Yahweh, your Elohim, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which Yahweh swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." Yahshua will descend from heaven on the day of Yahweh. Revelation 19, verse 11. Revelation 19:11. And when he descends, and when he comes back, those who are living, who are found worshiping Yahweh, abiding in the law, will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Those who are in the graves, who obeyed Yahweh, followed the Messiah, will be raised, will be born again. Revelation 19:11 begins, "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe, baptized in blood." That's the Greek word there's baptizo, where it says dipped. He was baptized in blood. "And his name is called the Word of Yahweh. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty Yahweh. And he has on his robe and on his banner a name, King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns." And so, understanding what is at risk, may we hear, and those who are seeking Yahweh around the whole world, repent of our fleshly ways, set aside all of the distractions that this life affords, and open the door upon which Yahshua knocks to call us out of Babylon. May we not be found asleep, not watching when he returns. Hallelujah.